Stephen's eyes flickered down to the shotgun. It was instinctive, uncontrollable. The final confirmation, if Peter needed one. "No, Stephen, that's not for you." Peter shook his head. "That's my work. You're fat and out of condition, and you've never had the training. You must stick to hiring others to do the actual killing. You wouldn't even get a hand on it." Stephen's eyes darted back to his brother's face. Still, the expression of his face had not altered. "I think you've gone out of your head, old boy." Peter ignored it. "You, of all people, should know that I am capable of killing anybody. You've conditioned me to that." "We are getting into an awful tangle now," Stephen protested. "What on earth should you want to kill anybody for?"
"Stephen, you are insulting both of us, I know. There is no point in going on with the act. We have to work out between us what we are going to do about it."
He had phrased it carefully, offering the chance of compromise. He saw the waver of doubt in Stephen's eyes, the slight twist of his mouth as he struggled to reach a decision. "But please, do not underestimate the danger you are in, Stephen." As he spoke, Peter produced an old, worn pair of dark leather gloves from his pocket and began to put them on. There was something infinitely menacing in that simple act, and again Stephen's eyes were drawn irresistibly.
"Why are you doing that?" For the first time, Stephen's voice croaked slightly.
"I haven't yet touched the gun," Peter explained reasonably. "It has only your prints upon it."
"Christ, you'd never get away with it, Peter."
"Why, Stephen?" "It is always dangerous to carry a loaded shotgun over muddy and uneven ground."
"You couldn't do it." "Not in cold blood."
The edge of terror was in Stephen's voice.
"Why not? You had no such qualms with Prince Hasid Abdel Hayek. I'm your brother. He was only a bloody wog."
Stephen choked it off, staring now at Peter with stricken eyes, the expression of his face beginning at last to crack and crumble as he realized that he had made the fateful admission. Peter reached for the shotgun without taking his eyes from his brother's.
"Wait," Stephen cried. "Wait, Peter."
"For what?"
"You've got to let me explain."
"All right, go ahead."
"You can't just say go ahead like that. It's so complicated."
"All right, Stephen. Let's start at the beginning, with Flight 070.
Tell me why." "We had to do it, Peter, don't you see? There's over 4 billions of British investment in that country. Another 3 billions of American money. It's the major world producer of gold, uranium, chrome, and a dozen other strategic minerals. My God, Peter, those ham-handed oafs in control now are on a suicide course. We had to take it away from them and put in a controllable government. If we don't do that, the Reds will have it all within 10 years, probably much less."
"You had an alternative government chosen."
"Of course,"
Stephen told him urgently, persuasively, watching the shotgun that Peter still held low across his hips.
"It was planned in every detail. It took 2 years.
"All right," Peter nodded. "Tell me about the murder of Prince Hasid."
"It wasn't murder, for God's sake, man. It was absolutely essential. It was a matter of survival. They were destroying Western civilization with their childlike irresponsibility. Drunk with power, they were no longer amenable to reason. Like spoiled children in a sweet shop. We had to put a stop to it, or face a breakdown of the capitalist system. They have probably done irreparable damage to the prestige of the dollar. They have taken sterling hostage and hold it in daily jeopardy with a threat of withdrawing those astronomic balances from London. We had to bring them to their senses. And look how small a price. We can reduce the price of crude oil gradually to its 1970 level. We can restore sanity to the currencies of the Western world and secure real growth and prosperity for hundreds of millions of peoples, all at the cost of a single life.
And anyway, he was only a bloody wog, wasn't he? Peter agreed reasonably.
Look here, Peter, I said that, but I didn't mean it. You were being unreasonable.
I will try not to be, Peter assured him mildly. Tell me where it goes from here. Who do you bring under control next?
The British trade and union movement, perhaps?
And Stephen stared at him wordlessly for a moment.
Damn it, Peter, that was a hell of a guess. But could you imagine if we had a 5-year wage freeze and no industrial action during that time? It's them or us, Peter. We could get back to being one of the major industrial powers of the Western world. Great Britain. We could be that again.
You're very convincing, Stephen, Peter acknowledged. There are only a few details that worry me a little.
What are they, Peter?
Why was it necessary to arrange the murder of Kingston Parker and Magda Altman? Stephen stared at him, his jaw unhinging slightly and the hard line of his mouth going slack with astonishment.
No, he shook his head, that's not so.
And why was it necessary to kill Baron Altman and torture him to death?
That was not my doing, all right, it was done. And I knew it was done, but I had nothing to do with it, Peter. Not the murder, at least. Oh, God, all right, I knew it had to be done, but...
His voice tailed off, and he stared helplessly at Peter. From the beginning again, Stephen.
Let's hear it all.
Peter spoke almost gently.
I cannot, Peter. You don't understand what might happen, what will happen if I tell you.
Peter slid the safety catch off the Purdy shotgun. The click of the mechanism was unnaturally loud in the silence, and Stephen's stride started and stepped back a pace, blinking at his brother, fastening all his attention on Peter's eyes.
God, he whispered. You would do it too.
Tell me about Aaron Altman.
Can I have another cigarette?
Peter nodded, and Stephen lit it with hands that trembled very slightly.
You have to understand how it worked before I can explain.
Tell me how it worked, Peter invited.
I was recruited, Stephen, don't lie to me. You are Caliph. No, God, no, Peter. You have it all wrong, Stephen cried. It's a chain. I'm only a link in Caliph's chain. I'm not Caliph.
You're part of Caliph, then.
Only a link in the chain, Stephen repeated vehemently.
Tell me, Peter invited with a small movement of the shotgun barrel that drew Stephen's eyes immediately.
There is a man I have known a long time. We have worked together before, a man with greater wealth and influence than I have. It was not an immediate thing. It grew out of many discussions and conversations over a long time, years, in which we both voiced our concern with the way that power had shifted to blocks of persons unfit to wield it.
All right, Peter nodded grimly. I understand your political and ideological sentiments. Leave them out of the account.
Very well, Stephen agreed. Well, finally, this man asked me if I would be prepared to join an association of Western world political and industrial leaders dedicated to restoring power to the hands of those fitted by training and upbringing to govern.
Who is this man?
Peter, I cannot tell you.
You have no choice, Peter told him. There was a long moment as they locked eyes and wills. Then Stephen sighed in capitulation. The name was that of a mining magnate who controlled most of the free world supply of nuclear fuel and gold and precious stones.
So he's the one who would have been in control of the new South African government with which you intended replacing the present regime in that country if the taking of 070 had succeeded, Peter demanded.
And Stephen nodded wordlessly.
All right, Peter nodded, go on. He had been recruited, as I was, Stephen explained, but I was never to know by whom. In my turn, I was to recruit another desirable member. But I would be the only one who knew who that was. It was how the security of the chain was to be maintained. Each link would know only the one above and below him, the man who had recruited him, and the one who he recruited in his turn.
Caliph, Peter demanded. What about Caliph?
Nobody knows who he is.
Yet he must know who you are.
Yes, of course.
Then there must be some way for you to get a message to Caliph, Peter insisted. For instance, When you recruit a new member, you must be able to pass on the information. When he wants something from you, he must be able to contact you. Yes. How?
Christ, Peter! It's more than my life's worth.
We'll come back to it, said Peter impatiently. Go on, tell me about Aaron Altman.
That was a disaster.
I chose Aaron as the man I would recruit. He seemed exactly the kind of man we needed. I'd known him for years. I knew he could be very tough when it was necessary. So I approached him. He seemed very eager at first, leading me on, getting me to explain the way Caliph would work. I was delighted to have recruited such an important man. He intimated that he would contribute $25 million to the funds of the association. So I passed a message to Caliph. I told him that I had almost succeeded in recruiting Baron Altman. Stephen stopped nervously and dropped the stub of his cigarette into the damp turf, grinding it out under his heel. What happened then? Peter demanded. Caliph responded immediately. I was ordered to break off all contact with Aaron Altman at once. I realized I must have chosen a potentially dangerous person. You tell me now he was Mossad. I didn't know that. But Caliph must have known it. I did as I was told and dropped Aaron like a hot chestnut. And 4 days later, he was abducted. I had nothing to do with it, Peter. I swear to you. I liked the man immensely. I admired him. Yet he was abducted and horribly tortured. You must have known that Caliph had done it, and that you were responsible. Yes. Stephen said the word flatly, without evasion. Peter felt a small stir of admiration for that. They tortured him to find out if he had passed the information you had given him about Caliph to Mossad, Peter insisted. Yes, I expect so. I do not know. If the picture I have of Aaron Altman was correct, they received no information from him. No, he was like that. They must have lost patience with him in the end, to do what they did to him. It was my first moment of disillusionment with Caliph, Stephen muttered somberly. They were both silent now, until Peter burst out angrily. My God, Stephen, can't you see what a disgusting business you're mixed up in? And Stephen was mute. Couldn't you see it? Peter insisted, the anger raw in his voice. Couldn't you realize it from the beginning? Not at the beginning. Stephen shook his head miserably.